Part 1. To those living on a nearby world, Planet Flub was a nighttime fascination. It could be a beautiful place where peaceful beings live, thought one enchanted child as she gazed out her window at the blue dot in the dark sky. As the girl looking out her window imagined, Planet Flub was a lovely place with gentle beings. Its distance from its pale pink sun provided pleasant weather. Though Flub was mostly covered by a rippling freshwater ocean, its small lone island, Flubville, had a great deal of variety. Carved in half by a waterway called the Flubling River, the roundish island had rich soil from which tasty fruits, vegetables, and grains grew. Scattered throughout Flubville were yellow umbrella-shaped trees that were homes for branch-bopping, lime-colored birds called bims. Under the sprawling roots of the trees live bups, furry bunny-like critters that pop from their burrows to eat berries. During the day, puffy clouds coasted above, sometimes grazing the foothills along the outer boundary. Most spectacular was the night sky. The clear, clean air made enjoying scores of spellbinding stars usual. Though they had no telephones, radios, TVs, or computers, the mild-mannered, polite beings known to themselves as Flubsters were never violent. While they sometimes said floops or flang when they flubbed up, these words were rarely used crossly. Using the flow of the Flubling River to turn gears and pulleys for weaving, grinding, and mixing, adult Flubsters worked a few days each week to provide food, clothing, and housing for all. Everything anyone needed to live was justly shared. Because they believed every family should have a cozy cottage on an acre of land, Flubville Island had no noisy, crowded apartment buildings. There were also no bunched-together stores or workplaces with hustle and bustle. Whether at home, work, or play, Flubsters felt everyone had a right to calm surroundings. Around 4 feet tall when adults, with hair a shade of red or brown until old age turned it white, Flubsters were not showy. Woven from shed bup hairs, they dressed in all-occasion jumpsuits called hoxes and comfy loafers called lums. On chilly days, they wore fluffy hooded jackets called pogs. On nippy nights, they enjoyed gathering around crackling fireplaces. While nothing Flubsters built was fancy, they had put much effort into constructing Flubbity Bridge. Made of tree trunks notched deep for secure interlocking and shaved level for smooth traveling, the lone bridge joined Flubville midway down the Flubling River. the often used overpass did much more than connect two halves of an island. It helped each flubster feel close to all flubsters. Standing in the middle of Flubbity Bridge, two children, Nam and Toog, watched Flubby, the small moon that circled Flub, poke along high above them. "An overhead Flubby means lunchtime," said Nam to her best friend as they looked up. "Wouldn't it be Flubble to see Flubville from Flubby?" replied Toog. Flubble, a favorite kid's word, meant wonderful. "Even better, what if Flubby passed over Bowfill after it drops out of sight? Wouldn't it be Flubble to see Bowfill?" spryly wondered Nam. Bowfill was an undiscovered island Flubsters thought might be on the other side of Flub. As they started for home, Toog, who had limped since first learning to walk, repeated what many Flubsters had imagined. Meeting the Flubsters who might live there would be even more Flubble, he noted. Again, Flubsters work hard at being nice. When a Flub-up might have been unkind or unfair, they quickly and humbly bowed their heads, a gesture called a flubbit that signaled they were sorry. Used to show regret for even minor flub-ups, such as interrupting someone talking, flubbits help the easygoing Flubsters make sure occasional quibbling never became mean and, above all, never caused someone to touch or even threaten to touch another in anger. Traveling about was always courteous. While pedaling their rails, three-wheel vehicles with rear bins for carrying passengers and goods, Flubsters were quick to let someone go ahead of them. Trips over water, taken in wooden boats, called gips, were also always done safely. Between 5 and 7 feet in length, gips were mostly rowed or sailed on the Flubling River. When used on Flub Ocean, everyone made sure an easy swim to land was always possible. To Flubsters, a means of getting from one place to another wasn't okay if someone could be harmed. Favorite gathering places were the parks on each side of the Flubling River. While sitting on the park benches, adults chatted as they fed Bim's crumbs. While standing on the park's riverbeds and docks, children enjoyed tossing scraps of food to the otts that swam by. Otts were friendly creatures that looked like big snouted tortoises. The otts entertained the children by blurting a series of otts whenever a Flubster said something to them. Unlike a parrot that learns a few words or phrases, otts replaced each syllable they heard with a blaring ot. If someone said, "I've got something for you," an ot would reply, "Ot, ot, 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 ot." The parks were also places where the adults held morning lessons, during which children were taught how to be good flubsters. You see, flubsters didn't have laws, police, lawyers, judges, or jails. Instead, they relied on just one how to be nice, two-word rule that was, as they saw it, a wise saying. The saying was this: be flubster. Was a furrow-faced elder who, like Toog, had always had a limp, was thought to be top-notch at teaching the be flubster wise saying. Making his usual stroll to a park with a cane made from a branch, was again hobbled to a tree while sipping mo, a popular tangy drink from a mug. He then watched the sun rise over a foothill while waiting for children to show up. Once the children arrived, Was again began his lesson by reviewing the wise saying: never forget that to be flubster, we must explore who we are and who we can become. That means humbly seeking niceness by being kind and fair, he stressed. Discovering Bouffville and meeting Bouffsters one day might help us, suggested Sear, a girl who often spoke up. Maybe, but for now, it's up to us to learn what it means to be flubster, replied Was. Nim wondered if Bouffsters could cure the limp Toog and Was had. Bouffsters might tell us flubble stuff, even how to fix a hobble, she hoped. Also curious about Bouffsters, an outgoing girl, Pun, brought up flub-dub, the flubster word for whatever happens when someone dies. Bouffsters may even be able to tell us something about flub-dub. That would be very flubble, she added. Figuring out how not to be so clumsy would also be flubble, followed a husky youngster, Daub, after a piece of topa, a juicy lemon-like fruit, slipped out of his hand, causing him to say, flang? Maybe the Bouffsters are creators who gave us flubby so that we'd know the time and see at night, offered Sear. Maybe there's only one Bouffster creator, guessed Nam. If I met a creator, I'd ask why the creation known as Daub makes so many flang-a-doo-diddy flub-ups, said Daub with a chuckle. I'd ask why the creation known as Pun makes so many floops-a-doopsie-doo flub-ups, followed Pun with a giggle. Was had a question. Are we not able to discover why we flub up on our own? When I flub up, I'm usually trying to do too much, shyly said Toog. When I flub up, I'm in a hurry, admitted Pun. I still think getting help from Bouffsters would be flubble, said a serious Seer. Was again challenged the children. But what if learning how to lessen our flub-ups is a big part of why we're on flub? He asked. What does Was mean by that? Thought the children, scrunching faces. was pinched his chin while he thought how he might better say what he meant. "Why must we keep learning how to be nice?" he pressed. "Because growing older makes us likely to flub up in new ways?" guessed Dob. "Good answer, Dob," said Wuz. "I don't like myself when I'm not nice," shared Pun. "And so it is with all flubsters," replied Wuz, as he reached into his pog's pocket for a crumb to give to a Bim that had gracefully landed on his shoulder. "Though we don't want to be unkind or unfair, we sometimes are these things," he told his students. "We should keep trying to understand niceness," said Nam, wanting to please Wuz. "We should keep niceness what's most flubble," added Toog. "I'm hearing things worth pondering," encouraged Wuz before finishing the day's lesson. "Keep in mind, children, we humbly flub it to put ourselves alongside, not below or over others. When you bow your head, never bounce your chin off your chest. To do so suggests arrogance. And never slump shoulders or look away. To do either suggests shame. Always remember, we flub it to show we strive to be flubster," he concluded before bowing his head to demonstrate a sincere flub it. Despite all the effort flubsters had put into living in harmony, they weren't able to prevent an event that terrified the grown-ups. On a day that started out ordinary, something no flubster thought possible took place. Though the startling brief incident left behind no mess to clean up and no physical wounds to mend, it was devastating. The dreadful event involved two mothers, Ban and Lai, who were sitting on a park bench combing hairs for weaving from a bup. While bending forward and accidentally bumping heads, they angrily shoved each other as one shouted "floops" and the other shouted "flang." Stunned, all the mothers could think to do was hold a long flubbit, tell each other they were very, very sorry, and hope that others could come up with a way to excuse their unthinkable flub-up. After learning about the shocking jostle, the other adults also became rattled and bewildered. At a hastily brought about meeting at a park, tremendous alarm was expressed. "It can't be so," anxiously muttered many as they paced in a circle and jiggled arms. After several minutes of chest-bulging breathing, the adults settled down enough to discuss the distressing matter. "A nightmare has been confused with real life," frantically claimed a gal. "Such a flub-up is beyond belief," fretted a fellow. "We must think of it as the great flub-up," roared a mother. "There's no need to panic," caution was. "Two flubsters have touched each other in anger. Action must be taken," loudly and urgently decided an elder. "We must prevent another great flub-up, demanded a frightened father. Something must be done, agreed several others. Flubsters had no leader, such as a mayor or governor, nor did they have a way of handling a crisis. So, with their faith in the B. Flubster wise saying suddenly shaken, they groped for a solution as nightfall arrived. Maybe it was just an awful but fluke flub-up that won't happen again, weakly suggested a jittery fellow. Possibly they were overtired. Maybe we need to find a way to make sure everyone gets a good night's sleep, offered a mother as she moved near a large glowing bowl-shaped candle. They could have sat too long in the glaring sun. Maybe we should put all the benches in the shade, proposed a befuddled gal while rubbing her neck. Speaking forcefully, a fellow by the name of Vere summed up the floundering. We've been trying to explain away what has happened, he noted as he lifted a bowl candle to his chest so that his face could be better seen. He then focused on what the mothers involved in the incident had relayed. Ban and Lai told us that while shoving each other, one said floops and the other said flang. So what? Asked someone who, like most, found what was said not important. We've always known that after flub-ups, there are some who say floops and some who say flang, pointed out there. You're not making sense, said a frustrated elder. Don't you see? Don't you all see there are those who prefer saying floops and those who prefer saying flang? Said there, making what he thought to be an important point. Meeb, an elder ready to take charge, stepped in front of there. There's right, she sternly made known as she pulled her pog's hood off wavy white hair. For as long as I can remember, we've fallen into two groups. One prefers saying floops after a flub-up, and the other prefers saying flang. As I see it, there are those who play down a flub-up by saying floops, and those who play up a flub-up by saying flang. I myself have always favored saying flang. Vera placed the candle he'd been holding at his feet, then explained further. Unknown to us until now, preferring floops or flang reveals two types of thinking, two different ways of seeing things. We also now know these ways can clash and, in doing so, cause us to hide hurt that can eventually explode without warning. After stumbling onto a knee while hurrying to the front of the gathering, Was jabbed the ground with his cane to prop himself upright, then spoke to all. To understand and heal what has happened, we must not put aside what has always united us. Now, more than ever, we must strive to be Flubster. Ready to demand drastic action be taken, Meeg spoke firmly. Because our different ways of thinking have brought about what will forever be known as the great flub-up. What we all thought no flubster would ever say must be said. Only by separating can we ensure our safety, she declared. A grim hush followed. We don't have time to brood, said Ver, ready to reveal a plan. A vote to decide whether or not to create two communities separated by the Flubling River is called for. A Floopsville for those preferring Floops, and a Flangville for those preferring Flang. Following a vote to separate, those who decide they favor Floops will become Floopsters, and those who decide they favor Flang will become Flanksters. Along with building a barrier on Flubbity Bridge, gepping from one community to the other won't be allowed, he detailed. A quivering was called out. Do you all realize what you're considering? He asked as he began to pivot, pausing each time he slid his cane and lame leg so that he could look into as many eyes as possible. Even if the play-up and play-down differences really do exist, we are far more alike than unlike. My fellow Flubsters, we cannot separate from who we are. Opposition from Meeb was again prompt. She repeated the notion she felt needed to be accepted. Do you prefer to make too little or too much of flub-ups? That is the question before us. We must choose between two wise sayings, be Floopster or be Flangster. Wuz shook his head. We now know we are capable of more hurt than we thought possible. Hurt we all believe no Flubster should suffer. Let us work harder to understand and heal what has frightened us, he pleaded. The hurt we're faced with isn't something to mend. It's something to guard against, argued Meeb. We need protection from another great flub-up. Raise a hand if you're ready to create a Floopsville and Flangville, she instructed. While most of the adults saw a separation to be an extreme step, they were ready to take it. They'd been swayed by the body shiver brought about by the thought of another great flub-up. Gradually, all the grown-ups, except for Wuz, raised a hand after Meeb and Ver went first. Scattered close enough to hear the adults, the children struggled to understand what had been decided. Nam, who was with Toog, was miffed. Why didn't the grown-ups listen to Wuz? She asked. Toog was worried. What Fur and Meeb said about Floops and Flang doesn't make sense to me. Are the grown-ups saying all Flubsters will become Floopsters or Flangsters who won't be allowed to be together? He wondered. It sounds that way, glumly answered Nam. After voting to divide, the adults began sorting out where they would live. Unwilling to break up families, they were quick to declare a preference for flang or floops. Soon weary from the day's ordeal, the grown-ups gathered their children and went home. Only a drooping, disheartened was remained behind. Noon the following day, Vere reviewed to all what had been decided. After voting to separate, half of us chose to become floopsters and half chose to become flangsters. Given floopsters chose the shorter of two bup hairs, they will settle east of the Flubbling River in Floopsville, leaving flangsters to settle west of the river in Flangville. Once homes are swapped, a wall will be built across the center of Flubbity Bridge. Also, gepping from one community to the other will end. With tears trickling down his jaw, was called out from the rear of the crowd. Starting tomorrow, I'll live on the Flubbling River, where I'll continue to be a flubster. When you see me pass, remember who you were and who you can again become. The words of the once greatly respected flubster caused many heads to nudge slightly downward. I've done no more than bring forth a feeble flubbet, muttered Was, feeling helpless. Meeb, who had not flubbeted, spoke with authority. Do what you must do, Was. The rest of us refuse to live in fear of another great flub-up. We stand with Meeb, declared Ver. Hauling the belongings of those who had to swap houses so that all floopsters were in Floopsville and all flangsters were in Flangville took only a few hours. Taking any longer, the adults knew, would stall dreaded final goodbyes. With daylight fading fast, the grown-ups passed the word to hurry parting hugs so that the wall could be erected across Flubbity Bridge. Once they'd finished blocking Flubbity, the only means of walking from one half of Flubville to the other, the adults stood motionless. Though losing such an important way to feel togetherness left them heartbroken, they lifted sagging shoulders and fought back tears as the sun set. None of them wanted to appear weak at a time when a show of strength was expected. None of them were willing to admit much hurt was being ignored and stored. After the grown-ups headed for home, the kids let each other know how confused they felt. Anxious to talk with Was, Nam scooted to him, then revealed what the children had been saying amongst themselves. Making Flubbity impossible to cross and not letting anyone gep across the Flubbling River doesn't make sense to the kids, Was. Was replied with great dismay. Let's hope the grown-ups will soon realize they can't escape themselves. Shortly after daybreak, Was busy at a Flubbling dock. Having removed the rudders from four geps, he tied the geps in the shape of a rectangle. Using pieces of canvas he cut with a stone disc, he covered each gap to keep out rain. Next, after making a deck by tying planks to the top edges of the gaps, he fastened a large rudder at the deck's stern and a sturdy mast at its bow. He then used pieces of canvas to make a tent and a sail. After bringing two sacks of supplies aboard, Was pushed his gep house from shore with his cane. Catching a tailwind, he sailed to the north entrance of the Flubling, where he reversed direction, then zigzagged into a headwind. When he reached the river's south end, he again did an about-face. He continued up and down the Flubling until darkness prompted him to lower the sail and anchor. Only a day after separating, Adele Floopsters and Flanksters were telling their children that their way of reacting to a flub-up was not only different, but also better than the way used by those on the other side of the river. While pulling a blanket to Toog's chin, his mother was firm. "Never forget, you're a floopster who knows it's best to say floops after a flub-up, Toog."
"I still don't understand why I can't play with Nam,"
shared Toog, missing his pal. "Nam's a flankster, son. Flanksters get too serious when flub-ups occur," answered his mother.
"Are you saying she needs to change to start saying floops instead of flang before I can see her again?" asked Toog.
"Their kind never changes, son. All we can do is keep them from upsetting us," warned his mother.
"But Nam never upset me," pointed out Toog.
"You've heard her say flang when she makes a flub up, right?" asked the mother, now flustered.
"I guess so," said Toog.
"Well, that's how it begins.
Before long, she'd be saying flang every time you flub up.
She'd carry on about your flub-ups until you felt bad about them. Making a fuss about flub-ups causes more hurt. It's what brought about the great flub-up. Flanksters make trouble, son," she told Toog before kissing his forehead, then blowing out the flame of the candle on the bedside table. In Flangville, Nam's father also expressed concern at bedtime. "Always be proud you're a flankster who knows it's best to say flang when you flub up, Nam."
"But isn't it better to be humble rather than proud?" asked a puzzled Nam.
"Things have changed. We now realize some know better than others," insisted her father.
"I miss riding rels with Toog,"
shared Nam. "You have to make friends with those who say floops," reminded her father.
"But Toog and I always had fun together. What's wrong with crossing the Flubling in a gap to spend some time with him?" asked Nam.
Nam's father became annoyed. "We've gone over this. You've got to remember, floopsters cause problems by sloughing off flub-ups.
pretending flub-ups aren't a big deal makes more hurt. It's what led to the great flub-up. Floopsters can't be trusted, gruffly claimed the father before blowing out the bedroom candle with a hearty puff. Before anyone became a floopster or flankster, kids rarely heard the adults criticize others. Now, it was common to hear the grown-ups gripe. Grouchiness began early at Nam's cottage. I shouldn't have let you talk me into moving to Flangville. I miss hiking the foothills along the eastern shoreline, Nam's mother said to her father as they ate breakfast. You're the one who keeps saying we can't let another great flub-up happen. Thanks to you, I can't take flower-smelling strolls wherever I please, fired back her father. Things were no different in Toog's home. While cleaning his rel outside a window, he too listened to a spat. Ever since we moved to Floopville, you've been moping around the house, nagged Toog's father. Why can't you appreciate how upsetting it is for me to see Flubbity Bridge blocked? Snapped back his mother. You're not the only one still getting used to that eyesore, bemoaned his father. While bickering, Nam's and Toog's parents displayed the brisk, insincere flubbits being used by other prickly grown-ups. During a visit to a bakery that afternoon, Nam heard adults fussing about bohi, the flubster word for bread. You gave me 8 loaves of bohi to wrap today instead of the usual 9. Maybe you should think about becoming a floopster. They're okay with flub-ups caused by shirking, said one worker to another, following his criticism with a fake flubbit. Picking up a few items at a Floopsville depot, Toog also came upon cranky adults. This time, they were squabbling over hoxes put on the wrong shelf. If I wanted to hear whining over every little flub-up due to a bungling, I'd move to Flangville, complained one worker to another, following with a flimsy flubbit. Name-calling was catching on fast in both communities. In Floopsville, hearing adults call each other a flankster became a common put-down. In Flangville, hearing them call one another a floopster became a common put-down. When everyone was a flubster, insults of any kind were very rare. Now, the grown-ups looked down on a whole group. Worse yet, they didn't seem to care that the flubbits that followed their put-downs were phony. Later that day, Toog went to a park with his father and an adult neighbor. While the grown-ups drank moe on a bench, the youngster went to the riverbank. Spotting was sailing by, Toog tried to catch the elder's attention by waving. I doubt the stubborn old fool can see you, Toog, said the neighbor before turning to Toog's father. Some say was said flang, and some say he said floops. I'd say he's a flankster deep down, grumbled Toog's dad. I don't know about that. My guess is he's more a floopster, disagreed the neighbor
before turning to Toog.
What do you say, Toog?
Is was a flangster or a floopster at heart? Spotting was return his wave, Toog flapped his arm harder while answering.
Was is what he says he is, a flubster.
Across the flubling, Nam found all the quarreling in Flangville alarming.
I need to talk to Wuz, she told the Ott she'd been lobbing chunks of bohee from a dock.
Ott,
mimicked the Ott before flopping into a splashing backstroke. Looking in the direction the Ott was headed, Nam saw the Gep House gliding up the flubling.
I'll row to Wuz late tonight, she decided as the Ott dove back toward her.
Ott,
said the Ott, appearing to be pleased. After pitching her last treat to the Ott, Nam headed for home with one thing on her mind. A trip to the Gep House. Late that night, Nam heard her parents flablooning, the humming that was usual when flubsters slept. After slipping on Lums and looking out her bedroom window to make sure Flubby was reflecting enough light, she tiptoed past her parents' bedroom and out the back door. Once outside, she climbed on her rail and pedaled to a park dock, where she got into a Gep and rode to Wuz. He's awake, she thought, spotting the glow coming from the lit candle inside the Gep House tent. After tying her Gep to the rudder of the Gep House, Nam announced her arrival as she crawled onto the deck.
It's Nam.
Coming, Nam, answered Wuz, soon leaning through the slit in his canvas doorway.
I have to talk to you,
she urgently told him.
Come in and sit, said Wuz. How have you been?
She asked as she dropped onto her knees.
Good, though I sometimes find being a self-made outcast lonely, answered Wuz as he also knelt. The grown-ups in Flangville are forgetting to be nice to each other, reported Nam.
Wuz wasn't surprised.
A good friend of yours left a short while ago. It seems floopster adults are also giving up on niceness.
Toog was here? Said Nam with a gleam.
Yes. He said he'd row out the same time tomorrow night with an update on things in Floopsville, informed Wuz.
I'll get back to you tomorrow night, too. Maybe the three of us can come up with a plan, replied Nam.
The adults need to grow weary of the distress separating has brought about, suggested Wuz.
The kids are worrying more and more, shared Nam.
If just a couple of elders on each side of the flubbling would humbly say they're ready to again be flubster, healing might get underway, noted Wuz as he stuck his head through the canvas door and into the night.
Flubby is past mid-sky. Let's get you started for home while there's light.
The end of part 1.